So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to review, man.
Hey, buddy.
It's not fair.
What's not fair?
But you're my best friend. You're leaving me.
A little bit. Well, what if I told you your best friend was adopting a kid today?
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't leave you, man.
I love you.
I love you too.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big band show tonight.
Welcome, everybody, to Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting, and we just finished up our worst of 2010, Wei, and what did you think of the show?
I thought it was tremendous. It didn't feel that long ago that the previous year was just there. It almost felt like it was just last week.
A lot of crap last year, Wei. I'm glad we got to summarize it tonight.
Yeah, I was really surprised by a few of your choices. Some of those things I actually didn't mind so much.
Well, Wei, we wanted to keep the theme going here with the worst of 2010, and thus we are going to review Knucklehead, starring The Big Show. And yeah, based on that trailer we have now seen for The Chaperone, it looks like we are going to have a definite candidate for worst movie of 2011 when that piece of shit comes out.
Oh, yes. Well, for those of you who don't know, The Chaperone is Triple H's new movie, kids' movie, that is set to debut soon. You know what? While watching this Knucklehead show, I think doing children's movies is not such a bad idea for the WWE, because when you're doing a kid's movie, you have tremendous leeway in everything, from writing to acting ability. When you're doing kid's stuff, it just you just... The bar is set so low because you're only playing to kids who don't know any better.
And results are low.
Yeah.
So it's, a lose-lose all around.
Well, unless you're five.
I don't think any five-year-olds
watch
were clamoring to see Knucklehead.
You don't know that.
I would make a large wager on it. Let's talk about this movie, Wei. It took me only two attempts to finish this movie, two seatings. Now, the premise around this is that the Big Show plays a orphan named Walter Crunk at the St. Thomas School for Boys.
Walter Crunk.
It's time to get...
Walter Crunk. Crunk.
We're tired, everybody.
What a name, though.
Walter Crunk.
Like,
this is our lead.
What? Like Walter Cronkite, but a crunked version of Walter Cronkite.
Maybe they were going to use our truth theme for this movie.
Okay.
The movie starts off in the orphanage, Wei, where and Walter, everyone, he's like a 40-year-old orphan who has just never been adopted.
Yeah.
It's like Problem Child if Junior had never been adopted and just...
Huh? What?
Well, he was in an orphanage, and I'm just saying, had he never been adopted, he would have been that old guy.
Oh, that kid was adopted?
Yeah, he was in, by John Ritter and his wife.
Okay.
His legit wife. John Ritter died a few years ago.
Oh, God. All right. Thank you.
Is that your phone? Something important happening?
What's going on? I'm going to ignore it. It's just an intern here.
Okay.
He's not important.
So we will start off here. They are performing a play of The Wizard of Oz. Some guy is playing Dorothy, and then we are introduced to this other orphan named Henry, who doesn't give a shit about this play.
He doesn't give a shit about anything. He's like, he doesn't give a shit about this movie.
Well, he probably read the script with the same enthusiasm and just said, sure, why not? I get minimal lines, and I get to use a British accent for 10 seconds.
He's an incredibly apathetic kid who... in this scene is playing Toto in this rendition of The Wizard of Oz, and he could care less. He's playing video games.
Big Show / Walter steps in to play the Good Witch of the North, And they decide to lower him from the ceiling and come down.
That's a big debut. We see a lot of sight gags here.
Everything fucks up because he's fat. Ha ha. He breaks it and the whole play is ruined.
Oh, fuck.
Then we cut to a scene in a gym way where we are introduced to Eddie Sullivan. I'm not going to go scene by scene, but this is how I take notes, Way. This is it.
Oh, fine.
Two pages of knucklehead notes.
How many stars do you give the past scene?
A dud. We meet Eddie Sullivan, who is alongside an MMA fighter who is identified as such. And...
No, a bare-knuckle fighter.
Oh, is he a bare-knuckle fighter?
Okay, MMA fighter.
Who cares?
Whatever.
He says that he's going to make enough at the prelim championships so he doesn't have to hustle in dumps like this again. This is his exact things, and we've spoken before about exposition in movies, where a guy just in a sentence explains his entire character and his goals and his motivations. Yeah. And this was done here. And then we meet Earl. Memphis Earl, who's played by Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina, what has he done?
He was in Get Shorty, I think.
Yes.
And I don't want to guess anymore because he's...
Snatch.
He was in Snatch.
Snatch.
He's done like legitimate movies.
Saving Private Ryan even.
and Knucklehead. Knucklehead. Saving Private Ryan and Knucklehead IMDb.
Yeah.
Congratulations, there Dennis. He has his own guy named Red Rum, who he's getting ready for the championships. Just this jacked up black dude who comes in and he knocks out some white dude that Eddie Sullivan is training. And they say that Red Rum just got out of prison for parking tickets.
This is going to be a...
So basically, Eddie owes Earl money and Eddie has to find this money in time or else he's going to be killed by Earl and Red Rum.
So is that what they said? They're going to kill him? They're actually going to murder?
They never say the word murder or kill. It's just implied that bad things will happen to Eddie if he doesn't get this money.
Okay.
So then Walter and Henry are at the orphanage. They're bonding. And Henry states that he just wants to be part of a family. And Walter says, "You are part of a family here with us." Then he farts. He leaves to go to the bathroom. And during this time, Henry is texting or playing Nintendo DS or something. And while Walter was cooking, everything catches on fire. And Henry doesn't notice this.
And meanwhile. Okay, go ahead.
Meanwhile, nothing.
Meanwhile, this whole scene, they're standing next to the bathroom with the fire extinguisher hanging right next to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
And nobody notices. They run.
Why would that be a set prop?
They run.
Why don't they put that in there?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's just to convey they're stupid.
The Big Show attempts to put water into a frying pan and tosses the water onto the fire to no avail. Meanwhile, there's a fire extinguisher right in the scene.
So long story short, they burn down the orphanage. And then the insurance worker comes by and says that they need to be shut down for failure to have a kitchen. There is no orphanage left, but the bigger concern is there is not a kitchen. So then we get a scene right out of Legendary where the Dexter kid pled to the judge, where this kid pleads to the insurance broker that they need a home to stay in, and does this in a British voice for whatever reason, because I guess British equals sympathy. The insurance guy knows that he's working him and says, "You guys have 10 days to start renovations or else you're all going to watch this movie."
Oh, what's next?
This was all the setup, way. Because then we're heading to church.
Oh, God.
And this is
Act 2.
Yeah, Act 2. Eddie is in the church and he starts to pray and he... starts off by saying, "Hey, God, long-time listener, first-time caller, big fan of your work." And then he asks God to, quote, "do him a solid." Now, they cut back to a scene where Sister Francesca, who runs the orphanage, is admonishing Walter for burning down the orphanage and starts hitting him with a stick or something. And knocks Walter into a wall, and he falls through the wall into the church area, and Eddie looks up and says, "That's a solid." Eddie then chats with Walter, Sister Francesca, and Mary, who is the orphanage assistant, about potentially fighting. And at first they turn him down, but Sister Francesca ends up talking them into it. And they ask, "What are you going to get out of this, Eddie?" And he says, "I get 50% of Big Show's purse." I'm ditching the name Walter. I'm calling him Big Show from now on because I think people are confused.
Oh, fuck.
So they leave the orphanage. It's
this whole time, by the way, the Big Show was wearing this ridiculous-looking wig. And I mean wig.
Yeah, it's a like, wig. Looks really bad. I don't know. They're trying to get him across as this, like, adolescent man-child.
Yes.
So, Eddie leaves with Big Show and Mary. And they hit the road in a short bus.
Mm-hmm. Mary is Jan from The Office.
Remember Jan? In The Office?
Jan, yeah, from the first couple seasons.
Oh, okay.
Of the Office.
I don't know. I never watched The Office. So on the bus, Eddie's teaching Walter the rear naked choke. And the plan is to go to all the amateur pro-am shows and then upload highlights to YouTube to get hits and gain interest for their big championship final in New Orleans.
Yeah,
so they want to create a viral fighting sensation.
Much like Kimbo Slice.
Yes.
This is a combination of Kimbo Slice, the Big Show, and he farts a lot.
Big Slice.
I love the Big Slice.
The first show takes place. It's a little dirty. The first show takes place in front of some Jewish people.
Oh God! You should WWE should just have you read out the scripts of their movies. It's far more entertaining.
Well, maybe if they heard this, they would realize how ridiculous this is. He fights a guy named Sugar Ray Rosenberg. The Jewish guy. And the fans in the crowd are all holding up signs like the Star of David.
They're all holding Stars of David made out of paper.
You think if you're Catholic, you go to events and hold up a cross and the blood and body of Christ? Oh, my God. This was just so stupid. The first couple of minutes, this dude attacks Big Show with a barrage of shots. This was an easy 10-8 round to start. But then the guy got tired. And he Walter gave him a wedgie. And then Walter fell on top of this guy.
No, he gave Walter a wedgie.
Oh, Walter took the wedgie. All right. Big Show got a wedgie. He then fell on top of the Jewish man. And the Jewish man was so engulfed by his weight that he tapped out.
Fuck.
And Eddie feels that this fight was worth 1 million hits on YouTube after the smothering finish. This is back in the hotel room where on the table, for whatever reason, they had a KFC bucket, which I found amusing because that was a joke amongst some of the wrestlers when Big Show once came to a taping or something and he had just the skin from a KFC chicken. He got rid of the chicken. He'd throw that out and just have the skin.
Wow. Really?
Well, and all these guys are looking at him at disgust, like, man, we have to diet and kill ourselves to look like this, and you can just eat like shit, and you're not that talented.
Well, that's his gimmick in pro wrestling, and that is his gimmick in this movie. It's that whenever this guy eats fast food, he has to take massive shits. And
this is a recurring theme.
Yeah, and that is what we see in this scene when Eddie is talking to the Big Show, and the Big Show is on the toilet taking a shit.
Earl shows up at the hotel, and he approaches Eddie at the motel, and he talks to him, saying that he doesn't want them to
get... Who's Earl?
Memphis Earl, the guy they owe money to.
Oh.
That Eddie owes money to.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, the accomplished actor. He basically tells Eddie, don't go to New Orleans. Eddie says, we are going to New Orleans. Waste of a scene. Then Walter
Give me more gay jokes and shit jokes.
Yeah, there's not enough in this. Walter talks to Mary about this being the first chance he's ever had to be a hero. So then the next day, they're driving to their next fight, and Mary freaks out driving the bus because the engine starts smoking way, and they end up veering through traffic and into a like cornfield, and apparently the brakes must have also been shot here because she never thought to stop the bus just to go wildly into a field because the engine was smoking.
Everything's off.
They drive into a tree. They smell gas. They get out of the bus, and the bus explodes. No more bus.
It just explodes. This never actually happens in real life. Cars don't explode.
No.
They can't.
Mary shakes herself around to flag down a trucker who's on a diet of Red Bull. And Big Show sits in the front with the Red Bull guy. And Eddie and Mary sit in the back with a bunch of immigrants and pigs. And I guess there's one moment where the Red Bull guy has to toss out a bucket of piss that he's been collecting over the course of his truck ride.
Oh, man.
Mary's upset at Eddie for this state that they're in and says she loves Walter like a brother and Eddie better not fuck them over and blah, blah, blah. Our next fight is at a child's home where we see Bobby J. Thompson, who, if you recall, guest hosted Raw to promote this movie.
I thought this guy was a big star in this movie.
He is in this movie for 5 minutes tops.
Yeah, not even.
He is a six-year-old promoter using his parents' house as a venue, and they're getting him ready in the living room for the fight out in the back. When this kid's dad shows up and starts yelling at all the fighters in the backyard and throwing shit, and Eddie's psyching up Big Show for his fight, Walter comes outside, thinks the dad is the opponent, and he shoves him through a fence. And this gets big viral mileage because he shoved the man through a fence.
Oh, fuck. How much more?
I have a page. Eddie's dad, who we were introduced in the first scene in the gym, is now in a hospital.
This dad is so weird. I didn't understand this dad's character at all.
No, and he was like, I would guess 5 years older than his son.
Yeah, this guy was like 45. And he talks like he's the calmest man in the world. He does like a Clint Eastwood impersonation. And I can't figure
out... That's the only time you will compare this actor to Clint Eastwood.
Well, but I can't figure out if he's supposed to be a good guy or just a bad guy.
Just shades of gray. Way.
And in this scene, he is a pervert. He gets... he doesn't feel sympathy. Or he says the son shouldn't feel sympathy for him because he's about to get a sponge bath from the nurse.
Yes. He was put in the hospital by Memphis Earl and Red Rum as a message to Eddie. So then the Big Show, Mary, and Eddie head to a trailer park, and they meet up with Tina, who is a former dancer with Mary, but we don't know what kind of dancer.
Mm.
And
we see stripper poles holding up the trailer.
Yeah, very subtle. Because all strippers own a pole at home because they want to practice.
And they all live in trailers.
Yeah. They basically show up, and they ask Tina how they can find jobs because they need money. And she remembers a contest going on in town where you can fight Bare Knuckle Dave for $500. Yeah. And Eddie starts teaching Big Show Muay Thai. Doesn't go too well. Then we get the makeover scene, way, where Tina takes Walter out shopping, comes back with a bald head, and he suddenly got these giant tattoos on his arms that we have yet to see all movie.
Yeah, she just gave him tattoos.
Yeah.
Shaved his head and gave him the tiger tattoo.
And Tina has a crush on Walter, but we don't know that yet.
Oh, and a pair of jorts.
Yes, he's wearing jorts here.
Jorts, cargo jorts.
Yep.
He was wearing.
So we go to the fight, and it turns out that Bare Knuckle Dave is an actual bear.
Bare knuckle.
This was so lame because they continued to cut between shots of a real bear and this obvious mascot. So it was never
like a bear, like a man in a bear suit.
Yes, and it was just painfully obvious.
Uh-huh.
Walter wins the fight with a bear hug, and they make sure to say that the bear is okay after this fight where Walter beats up an animal.
Okay.
Then they head to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Walter gets the shits on a bus, but he can't close the door, so the bus has to be evacuated. And they have to get the jaws of life to pull him out of this stall on the bus.
This was like a 5-minute long
stupid
gag
scene
about shit. Like at one point, they just spent a lot of time on this. Okay, so they had. If you ever wanted to see Paul White try to fit into the bathroom of a coach bus, I think this movie would be worthwhile for you to watch. He's crying as he takes a shit. They eventually have to evacuate the bus because everybody hates the smell. You can hear a woman cry about her dogs being left on the coach as Big Show is taking a shit. And then the firefighters get there. And yes, they say that they just spent the fact that they spent the paper to type these words out just makes me laugh because you have a firefighter actually saying this line. If this doesn't work, we're going to have to use the jaws of life to get you out. As the Big Show is sitting on the toilet.
What a terrible movie.
And we get a glimpse of the Big Show's ass as he's pulled
really?
Out. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Thankfully. Memphis Earl shows up at the orphanage with a fake wife, and they try to adopt a child from Sister Francesca. And she sees through them and tells them to leave. Then we're at a gas station, and this gang tries to attack Mary. So Eddie knocks one of them down. He gets outnumbered, and then Walter beats all of them down. And they go in, and Eddie grabs a security video to upload to YouTube. This guy's a hustler.
Yep.
Oh. Then we're at a campfire, and Eddie says he stopped boxing because of an injury to his penis, and he has hemorrhages. And we get a bunch of dick jokes. Seriously. This is what they do. They just trade a bunch of dick jokes around. Their next fight is at a frat house in Kentucky. And
then a video.
Oh, it's a montage here of the fight in at the frat house. Then they're in Kentucky. Then they go to Tennessee. We see Eddie and Mary start to flirt with one another. Eddie tries to kiss her, but he gets turned down. And then they arrive in New Orleans. And for the big championship, and Eddie buys a suit for Walter and a dress for Mary. And they go out the night before a fight. Not a smart idea. And Mary gets hammered off of a margarita. And she fights the waitress Jiggles over Eddie. And she ends up, they go to a mud pit to settle things. And the waitress takes her clothes off. Then Mary takes her dress off. And she gives a reverse spin kick to Jiggles, who falls into the mud pit unconscious. And it leads to this somber walk home where Mary tells Eddie that she used to be, that she was going down a dark path until Sister Francesca saved her and that she was a stripper. And Eddie's just shrugs his shoulders and does not care.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yep.
Then it's the day of the event, Way. It's the battle, the beatdown at the Bayou. Ooh. Airing on pay-per-view. Eddie forgot to register Walter for this fight. And they end up bypassing the commission because Mary yells out, "Have you guys seen the big guy on YouTube who shoved a man through a fence?" And they all cheer. And then she talks about the man who beat up all these guys at a gas station, and they cheer. And they allow them to bypass the registration, and Walter's in the tournament.
Yeah.
So we get a heartfelt moment here between Walter and Eddie. Winner of this tournament gets $100,000, kind of like the Jeff Jarrett Double M A exhibition.
Yeah.
Which would have been easier than going through four men. Walter wins his first fight with a kick to the chest. Second fight he wins with a sloppy rear naked choke. Then we're also following Red Rum here, who's going through his competition. The father shows up here for the tournament. And Eddie gives them the $4,000 they've made so far, saying, "No matter what, make sure this money gets to the orphanage." And then Memphis Earl is here. And he approaches Mary in the ladies' room and tells her that Eddie really stopped fighting because he took a dive. And he's probably betting against Walter. And he's using you. So this leads to Mary confronting Eddie about where the $4,000 is. Eddie doesn't have it, so Mary's skeptical. But then we receive a note that Memphis Earl has taken Henry hostage, the other orphan kid.
Not just a note, this is a photo. And this photo...
It's like him over top of, like, on a pier.
Exactly.
Going into the water.
Exactly what it was. It
says, Walter takes a dive, or Henry does.
Yes, it was Dennis Farina from Saving Private Ryan holding the little kid at a pier over water.
So why would Earl want Walter to lose? Because if he won, they get $100,000. And thus Eddie can pay Earl what he owes him.
Is that what he's fighting him over? He owes him money?
I was very confused here because...
He wants his own fighter to win. He wants Red Rum to win.
Why?
So Red Rum can have the $100,000.
And then Eddie has to find more money?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense. There are no logic holes at all.
So, the finals...
This nun just arrives from out of nowhere.
Yeah, Sister Francesca is
there. She just comes to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Everything in the last 5 minutes, it moves so quickly.
The fight, the finals, it's Red Rum and Big Show, leads to a shitty rear naked choke by Red Rum, but Walter powers out and Earl yells from the crowd, I've got your boy right here. Now, if you took a boy hostage, would you take him to a giant public event and yell out that you've got him hostage here? This
not
made no
well.
Sense.
Yeah, they were looking for him. I thought he was supposed to be at the pier.
Walter makes a comeback after Mary yells for him to stay down, worried about Henry. And then Walter makes a comeback, applies a triangle off of his back.
No, it was actually a go-go plata.
Was it a go-go plata?
Yeah, it was. The same way Taker puts it on.
Oh, I thought he had a triangle. I thought he had the...
No, he's been watching his... Eddie Bravo instructional tapes.
Well, there you go.
He's been practicing his rubber guard.
Then Walter gets the win. Earl ends up taking a taser shot from Sister Francesca, who has
a
taser.
Before he applies the go-go plata, Walter fights back and says, as the music reaches a climax, I'm just a knucklehead.
That's right up there with Steve Austin. I hunt to kill.
Yeah. Exactly.
We've watched some terrible movies in the last while.
Okay.
Earl then gets tasered by the police, and he's arrested. And then the dad comes to Eddie and says, I don't have the $4,000. I'm a gambling addict.
That we just found out.
Yeah. Great. And he said he can't resist an underdog, and Walter was a 20-to-1 underdog, and he put all his money on Walter. So theoretically, they
won
20 times the money plus $100,000.
Uh-huh, how convenient.
And Eddie gives it all to Mary, and then Eddie and Mary make out in the ring the exact same finish as Legendary.
The exact same finish as any movie. The exact same finish as any script written by a 10th grade drama student.
We fast forward in time. Walter and Tina are now a couple. And then Walter is packing because he's leaving the orphanage. And Henry is all depressed, sitting there. And Walter says, well, did you happen to know that I'm also adopting a kid today? Henry replies, really? I couldn't leave you. And it ends with Henry saying, I love you.
Oh,
and Walter, Tina, and Henry live happily ever after in Knucklehead.
The end. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
I hated this movie. I hated it.
Basically, every bad cliche imaginable.
We spent a half hour of our life reviewing that. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, at the end. The credits come up, and they list underwritten by 3 different names. It took 3 people to write this.
Yeah, it's like 33 minutes each. This is an hour and 40 minutes.
I know.
Way
it was
too long.
3 people to write the poo jokes that were featured in here. it like I can see it. I just it's hard for me to comprehend how movies like this get made. Tons and tons of movies like this get made, but I can only justify it by thinking that perhaps these people, all the people that worked on this movie, were people that are just so jaded in their careers that have been so, you know, maybe at one point in their lives had really high hopes to become the next Spielberg or whatever. But now they're probably just on autopilot and are so desperate for work that they just created the most laziest, most generic, and completely unimaginative story in the fastest amount of time possible just to make a living.
Terrible. Terrible movie, everyone. I give it a 1 out of 10.
I give it
an 8.
You know what? If we're ranking this amongst my ranking is how easy this was for me to watch. And some of these shows that I've given lesser ratings to, they've really been unbearable to watch. This, for a movie, it was only an hour and 40 minutes, and it moved along. I give it a 4 out of 10.
Oh, it's very nice of you. All right, let's dive into our feedback. Before we start, I want to wish a happy birthday to one of our listeners, Harry Randall, who it was his birthday last week, actually.
Oh.
And he messaged me just moments after we had recorded Review Away.
Cool.
And he was asking if he could get a shout out. So there you go, Harry.
There you
happy
go.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
He turned 18. Let's get into this way.
All right.
We'll start off with some feedback to Legendary. Jermone Jackson. Way in, John. My hat's off to you guys. I don't see how you could sit through a viewing of Legendary. I watched Knucklehead on Netflix and tried to watch Legendary, but I couldn't stand to watch it past the 20-minute mark. Good thing, too, because I think if I had watched both movies back-to-back, my face would have melted off like the Nazi in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Forrest Bowling. I can see the court now. Jeff is about to be pronounced guilty, but Matt runs in and says, Jeff is like a father to me. Then the jury has a good laugh.
Huh. Jack Pisco. Legendary seems like a movie worth watching by the way you guys described it in your review. I recently watched John Cena in 12 rounds, and if you think he's superhuman in his day job, it pales in comparison to his on-screen persona in that film. MNR was pretty good. Monday Night Raw was pretty good to start out the year, but I wish they had delayed the Miz and Morrison match. But then again, I think no one thought these guys would put on a great match like that. I know I didn't. Now with Orton in the number one contender spot again, I believe Morrison's push may have just ended. If I may make a suggestion for a possible interview, my choice would be for Chris Jericho's old lackey, Ralphus. I would love to hear about his time in WCW and on his work with Y2J and Norman Smiley.
And on that topic, we've received a number of suggestions for interviews from all you guys over the past few weeks. Daniel Stack, you guys should interview Lance Storm or even have him join you for a full review. He'd probably get down on that.
Yeah, Lance we have had on the show before. I'm sure we could probably work that out. Scott McCullough, I know Mikey Whipwreck has a series of sit-down DVDs coming out. Would love to hear an interview with him and perhaps Jim Mitchell.
Okay. Chris from L.A., I have been listening to Law since 97, and the one person who has been ragged on the most for the greater part of the past 13 years is Ahmed Johnson. I can't think of one Law host who has not gone on a rant about him. The funniest rant was from the mouth when he awarded him the Jabroni of a Lifetime Award. My eyes teared up from laughing so hard. I was a diehard Ahmed fan because in the mid-90s, he was the only real WWE star us black children had as a role model. But Jeff Merrick and Dan Levransky's jokes about his lack of wrestling ability and horrible promos were always good entertainment. I would love for you guys, in particular John Pollock, to interview Ahmed and see what he's up to.
You know, Ahmed Johnson, I was thinking about this week. Everyone always talks about Randy Savage being like excommunicated from the WWE. And of course, Ahmed Johnson is not at that level, but he's never been brought back for anything. Like you never see him.
Oh, he was in WCW.
Yeah, he was in WCW. But I'm saying like of all these old school Raws and all of the stuff that's gone on, you never hear Ahmed's name really. But and he was pushed as a big star. He wasn't, but.
Well, you don't hear Savio Vega being brought back either.
Oh, no. Ahmed was pushed near the top. Like, he was at one point in that top-end mix.
But nobody has fond memories of Ahmed Johnson like they do with
Superflex. Absolutely.
Snuka.
But, I mean, you just don't hear anything from this guy. He doesn't have a website. He doesn't do interviews. You never hear him doing anything. Anyway. Shy Avigan. John, I'm eager to hear a Tony Schiavone interview. And if you dare, my friend, to go real low, how about the likes of Stephanie Wyant, Charlie Min, and your favorite, Todd Pettengill?
I would love that.
Charlie Min.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? He was like the first Asian announcer the WWE ever had. He did like the Event Center promos. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we should have a panel.
He hosted the Action Zone.
Okay, well, look him up. Here and there, these are just some notes from around the wrestling world from all you guys. First of all, Ahmed Butt. I don't have faith in the WWE bookers to keep the title on Miz heading into Mania. This is partly why I think he'd drop it prior to WrestleMania 27. And I noted the Alex Riley possibility because of the serious tongue-lashing he received from the Miz last week and other ill treatment he receives. As for Wade's future with the Nexus, I don't see how anyone will get behind him as a face so soon. If they want to build to a face... Okay, well, this is old, so... It's not relevant anymore. P.S. I, too, love Californication, so I know who Madeline Martin is. And it's creepy that she would show her boobs when she looks like a fucking 12-year-old. I have no idea what that's in reference to. What is that from?
From Legendary. She's the kid who was like with Flash guys.
Oh, that girl. Okay.
Yeah. She didn't actually show her boobs in the movie.
But the character.
But the character does. Yeah. You don't see anything. Yeah, I do believe Miz is going to keep the title till at least WrestleMania. I think he's done as good a job as possible with that title. I really find it so refreshing having him on top right now. And I don't see Riley anywhere near the level of the Miz. Even if Miz were to lose the title, for him to have a singles match with Riley would be such a nothing match to me.
No, I don't see that.
I think Riley's good in this role as just the lackey, and it's just it's not a program I see having WrestleMania potential in the least.
Right.
And finally, Brian Hillhouse. Who sets the ticket prices for UFC events? Well, the UFC does. I'd like to attend the UFC show in Toronto, but if the Rogers people have any say in ticket prices, and especially after the Bills and Toronto series failure, I imagine the cheapest tickets will still be pretty steep. More so, considering that there actually is huge interest in the UFC in Toronto as opposed to the Buffalo Bills, and Bills tickets were obscenely expensive at first. I checked Ticketmaster, and while there is nothing yet listed for the Toronto show, tickets for the show in Las Vegas in February range from $85 to $790. We haven't seen the pricing structure, and in fact, they haven't even officially finalized what the seating structure is going to be and whether they're going to configure the dome for 40,000 or even more, which they are also weighing. So that's the update there, and I honestly cannot tell you what ticket prices are going to be. They want to leave tickets at – oh, my God. what a photo here. I'm looking at Joe and the Pope and puppies. Joe's going to film you.
Yes.
How clever.
From the mod. Funny.
So the prices, it's the UFC that will set them. And it's not worth us just guessing what they're going to price it at. So the tickets are going on sale, though, in early February. So that's that's something for you guys out there. So that concludes our review this week, everybody. Next week, Way, we will be just a week away from the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
So
coming up.
I wanted to give a brief mention about our Royal Rumble pool because tomorrow I will be posting the link where you can go online and insert all of your information. Now, we are only allowing you to enter once per person. So we are going to be able to identify your name or your email address. So we'd appreciate if you guys just enter once and not try to just spam this entire site with your picks and stuff like that. And it's the same categories as last year, who enters first, who lasts the longest. And you can enter all of your information, and then we'll give out a prize to the winner.
Do you know the categories?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
But it's the same we did last year.
And then how do you calculate it? How do you calculate the winners? Whoever gets the most right?
It'll be the same. A point system.
Point system. Okay. And is this like a program?
Yes. I didn't design it, so I'm not too familiar with it right now.
So, okay. So do people just email you
No, you're not emailing it. You're just inputting it into this, and then we receive it on the back end of the information you're inputting.
All right. Cool. Sounds.
What could go wrong?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So that'll be our Royal Rumble pool, which you'll have 2 weeks to input all of your stuff. And then in addition to that, next week, Way, I thought we would review the 2005 Royal Rumble, because looking at this show, a lot of weird shit happened on this show.
Like what?
Like Vince McMahon blowing out both of his quad muscles.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought we could take a look at that next week as we head into the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. And as we head out, Way, of course, go to reviewaway.com and leave all your feedback. We'll be back this week with Review a Raw and Review an Impact.
You look very tan, by the way, John.
Well, thanks. I was on vacation for a week.
Yeah.
And I got a nice tan while I was gone.
Yeah, you very tanned.
So, Way, what would you like to hear on the way out here?
I'd like to hear a song that has absolutely nothing to do with the movie besides the title. And the title is called Knuckleheads with a Z by Raekwon, the chef from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Great.
Do it then. Let me hold on. One for you, one for me. Two for you, one, two for me. What? Three for you. Smack fuckers out of here. Smack fly at your fucking ass, man. What the fuck you think this is, man? Get the fuck up out of here, man. So, matter of fact, my head is mad. Shoot fucking fire.
This ain't even enough crime right here. This ain't enough. We want to shoot right over there. Yo, them niggas got the big frame over there. Just shit. So, just walk up and light up the chopper, kid.
Like, don't play with like I got a flower pot at you,
man. On the rails, man. This money fast, son. I know how we gotta do this.
You scrunch head, motherfucker.
Lay on the crime scene, sipping fine wines, full of nine gone. UFOs taking they fly. Close their eyes, close. We getting loot, no doubt. Check the word amount. Unheard about guns go off and now we'll heard about. I'm out. My raps play the part like a get smart. Secret agent in the maze. Styles blazing. Johnny blazing. Tony Stark's in the days and rhyming. My nigga Luke rhyming with Robert F. We like meth to go and fuck with noodles. Having them boodles on the lockdown. Buying me armor reticent. Chewable, smacking pharmaceutical. Rap niggas on dust and wolves. Yo, I told you some kill rob in full. The goals untold, fucking it, beats below. So strong, marvelous, soul controller of the glow, glow. Goddamn, I got it so. And yo, what up, well, I pop a suitcase high. And we can talk, you can walk out the fucking building and get caught. Say the fully inflatable, rap relatable, drug relatable. Niggas here to play with you. $100 Rockwellers for the spot sellers. Guns and Glocks for them niggas who got props. Off top, jail niggas get mad bigger. And yo, mail a guy about 100 pictures worth the mama. This rap wanderama team got drama, comma, plus smoke realized marijuana. Chef Marizana boats across the Farazana. Immaculate, bust off my gun so accurate. And getting cream in the cuisine in Queens. I told you, money skated with 90 beans and 2 rings.
Crazy fat, get me through this shit. Sniff man shit, and they fuck you.
Who's the knucklehead, wanting respect? Top his fingers in the drug game, money well known. Least thing, a hung thing, a flash. Here's the aftermath, here's this photograph. Run up in his lap, take off the mask. Chance to think fast, don't laugh. Bag the cash, grab the hash. Don't forget his stash, grab the tank ass and place it in his face fast, a full blast. Then skate to the next gate, further upstate. I heard they got crazy weight, bagged up by the cakes and crates like disco breaks. Don't look out for Jake's. Give it all it takes, let's burn the place before we motivate. Yo, Blake, nigga, don't fake, rape is fake. If the bitch scream, for God's sake, grab the great tape. It's by the plate, with the blow crushed up with the flakes. Killer snakes, four bodies, man floating in lakes. Drug related paper, talking about the kids who didn't make it. Hits without a trace, 17 of bricks, she may in Ghostface. Congratulations, chef, let's celebrate and sniff it, hey.
The rap's
bomb
is on, rap bomb is on, popcorn, put it on, seal it on. With silicone sparking on your talking lawn. This rap phenomenon to correspond to the arms. Hit me on the hip and horns. Rap chaperone, stars, tones, bar throne. War tones, roar tones, blowing out the jawbones. What giraffes, fraudulent. Plug in these rap ordinances. Reinforced with suspense. Be on your raps for defense. These microphone professional, sensational, fully operational. I got niggas here to play with you. You know prestige, you know my whole program. Drummers from the lowlands. All we roll is disease, guns and grams. Like the hopper, mop
mafia, sick, pretty imposters. Lay it in the house, telling the seeds about the sagas. Before we got dramatic, and those got sporadic. We grabbed roller tablets, we quick guarded the habits. Slugs hit the belly, punch holes into the belly. Suckers try to knock me out the box like Skelly. I smoke the weed trees, I drop top to the breeze. Honey dip, spinning G's on nails and hair weave. The crime boss, taking no loss, excessive force. We can make the A train back up the iron horse.